Philippians chapter 2, and we'll read verse 12 down to verse number 16. The Word of God says, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 down to verse 16, reading from the King James Version of the Scriptures. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have also obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Last time, when we looked in our study at verse 14, we give the command from Paul why believers must not do all things without murmurings and disputings. But now we want to look at the reason. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 16 through 13, Paul teaches God's people not to complain about the purposes of God in their life and the people of God with whom they worship the Lord. Paul had already touched on this subject in verses 3 and verse 4. That believers must do nothing through strife or vainglory. And now he revisits the same subject in verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Both statements involve serving the Lord together in the work of God, but also in living the gospel. For instance, Paul emphasizes in verses 3 and 4, do nothing with a prideful attitude. Whereas in verse 14, Paul emphasizes, do nothing with a complaining attitude. In serving the Lord together, in living the gospel, don't do it for your own glory or complain about others. The word murmurings means to grumble or to be a grumbler. It's to say anything about someone in a low tone. Simply put, it's to complain about others quietly in groups of two or more because you're unhappy how things are going and not getting your own way. The word disputings means to weigh everything up, to consider, to conclude. In other words, having listened to murmurings, conclusions are made because someone or some people didn't get their way, but they want their way. And for that reason, Paul uses the imperative in the original language. He gives a command in verse 14, do all things without. That is, in the work of God, in attending church, in life in general. Avoid that person or those group of people who always seem to divide, discourage, dishearten others by their complaining. Those who seek to get others into small groups to murmur and dispute about church ministry, the workmen, the workers, the way things are done, and they start their heated debates about their pet peeves, forcing their opinions to try and get people on their side and to lead a group. Because such attitude, such murmuring, such disputing, it wearies others and it wears down. Always remember Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun. And so we must keep that before you, because Paul is writing to the church at the believers at Philippi. And so he's writing to instruct them that as the church grows, as it prospers, as it seeks to honor the Lord, there'll be those who will come in among you and seek to divide, to discourage, It may be other believers wanting the preeminence, wanting the praise. It may be other believers who are not happy and they just want to cause trouble. It may be the unsaved coming in and want to promote a false gospel. And so Paul is writing, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Why is that? Verse 15, that ye may be blameless, harmless, without rebuke. The words that ye in verse 15 mean in order that, or with the result that, or given the purpose that. Paul says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, so that for this reason, because of this, that ye may be blameless, harmless, without rebuke. Why? Because you are the sons of God. And you are to shine as lights in the dark world. You are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. You are spiritual lights in a dark world. And Christ lives in you. And therefore, after the preaching of God's word, when Jesus Christ is uplifted and exalted as the only Savior, and he is preached for your edification, your first response after the meeting is to glorify God, to rejoice in the Lord, and spread the cause of the gospel, but not to get around one another and dissect the message, dissect the messenger, or complain about one another. And I'm not saying that happens here, but I'm just giving you the context here in the book of Philippians. Because remember, when we get to chapter 4, there'll be two women who start a debate with one another in the church of God, and it causes a fallout among the Lord's own people. And so Paul is saying, you are the children of God. You are the light of the world. Shine for the glory of the gospel. Shine for Jesus Christ. Your life ought to attract people to Christ, not detract people. When you go out there to the highways and the byways and compel people to come in and come to God's house, they ought to listen to you, see your lifestyle, see you and say, do you know what? I want to come to that house. I want to hear that preaching. But not to listen and say, well, do you know what? Thanks for the warning. I'll bypass that place. And so these are serious matters. Paul gave a command. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Why? Because the truth is, by nature, we're all fallen sinners. And we will always tend to be negative before we see the positive. And so Paul says, do all things without murmurings and disputings for this reason. And that's what I want to look at today. The reason to do all things without murmurings and disputings. And then, God willing, on another occasion, we'll look at the place where they are to do all things without murmurings and disputings. And that place is in the world among this perverse and crooked generation to shine as lights. So we've looked at the command. We'll get to the place. But right now we want to look at the reason. The reason to do all things without murmurings and disputings. First of all, and there's three thoughts. First of all, do all things without murmurings and disputings to be blameless. Because says there, verse 15, that, or for this reason, that ye may be blameless, the sons of God. The word blameless means to be faultless, means to be above reproach. And the word refers to the context in which it is written in. And for that reason, Paul is not teaching sinless perfection. Rather, when he says be blameless, he means that when accusations are made, you're not part of the group who murmur and complain about the Lord's pleasure or the Lord's purposes in your life, his guidance and his people. Also, Paul is not saying that when accusation comes, or he's not saying that no accusation will ever be brought against the Lord's own people. Because as God's own people, and by our identification to Christ, the Lord's people will always be accused. Why? Because godly living will always expose ungodly living. The light will always expose what happens in the dark. Just as Elijah was accused by Ahab for troubling the nation when he came and preached his message. There's only one true and living Savior, and his name is Jehovah. And isn't that the case? Whenever you tell the gospel, whenever you go around the streets of London and you tell men and women that there's a Savior from all sin, and for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And to believe in him is to have life eternal. But to refuse him, to reject him, to remain in your sin is to perish. You get accused of all sorts. Again, as Daniel. Remember Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. Whenever Daniel lived in Babylon, in a pagan society, a society that worshipped many false idols, a society that was evil in nature, darkness, spiritual wickedness. Yet Daniel lived for the Lord. Daniel still prayed 3 times a day. Daniel still sought to honor the Lord. And we read that there was a group of people who didn't like Daniel for his godly living, for his testimony of grace. And they sought occasion. We must find something against this man. I don't care what it is, but we must find something against this man. This man who will not bow down to our idols. This man who presents the gospel of his God as the Savior. We must do something against this man. Find occasion. Find some fault in his life. And we learn, having accused Daniel, having tested Daniel, having done many things, Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was any error or fault found in him. So Paul is teaching, do all things without murmurings and disputings for this reason, to be blameless. That when accused, when questioned, when examined, when people try to find fault, there's nothing for which you will be held responsible by way of sin, by way of murmuring, complaining against one another and against the Lord. Remember, this section in Philippians is about living the gospel, not just by word, but by walk and by witness. Remember, it was said of Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Well, that word perfect is the word blameless. We learn as well the parents of John the Baptist and Zacharias and Elizabeth. In Luke chapter 1, verse 6, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. It refers that they were walking in the newness of life. They had a testimony of the gospel, and their belief impacted their behavior. Therefore, to be blameless concerning murmuring and disputing among believers give the evidence that when there is fault finding, you are not among the crowd adding fuel to the fire, but as the sons of God, the household of faith, brothers and sisters in the family of God, the church of Christ, redeemed by precious blood. Don't murmur, don't dispute for this reason, to be blameless, to live above reproach. Because that's Christ's desire for his church, as found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. that you should be holy and without blemish, faultless. And that is to have the mind of Christ, because Christ was blameless. He didn't murmur. He didn't dispute. He didn't complain about the good pleasure of God in his life. He was blameless in all his ways, his work, and his witness of God. Throughout his earthly ministry, whenever the Savior was accused by men, they accused him. He said this, he did that. And yet Christ endured the path of suffering. He was blameless. No accusation could stand against him. And even when they mocked him, even when they caused his sufferings, it was said in John 18, verse 38, Pilate, I find no fault in him. We learn John 19, verse 4 and verse 6, the same words, I find no fault in him. The word fault means blameless. So considering his life, Pilate said about Jesus Christ, I find him blameless. Oh yes, he was accused because of his living. He was accused because of the message he taught regarding redemption and sinners needing to be saved. But yet every accusation against him could not stand because the message was true. And isn't that amazing today? Among people who call themselves Christians, who go to church, and yet you tell them you need to be saved, and all of a sudden they flare up. You mean about being saved? What do you mean Jesus Christ died to save me? Away with that nonsense. And yet that's the gospel, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so he lived a perfect life in order to die for our sin to save us. And in that, his life was blameless. He didn't complain about the ways of God for his life. Rather, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why? Because he was going to the cross to save you. He didn't have to, but he willingly gave his life a sacrifice to save your soul. That's why the Bible tells us in Psalm 18, verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. That word perfect again, blameless. As for God, his way is blameless. Blameless regarding how he led his beloved son in order to suffer for our sin, but also blameless in that his plans and his purposes for your life, he does all things well. Remember, Paul is writing from a prison in Rome. And yet he doesn't murmur or complain. Rather, he acknowledges that all that has happened in my life, it's for the furtherance of the gospel. He acknowledges God had given him opportunity to share the gospel even in prison, and souls were saved. God had given him time to write letters known as the prison epistles, to which this is one of them, to strengthen the church of Christ. God's way is blameless. There's no fault in how he leads his children along. And the way he leads his people along is to bring them into a deeper fellowship with God. Charles Spurgeon always used to say, anything that makes me pray is a blessing. And therefore, if a trial or trouble or sickness comes in your life, we're not to murmur or complain against God, but otherwise we're to learn that this is for the furtherance of the gospel, to draw me closer to my Savior and to draw him closer to me, that I will see him in a way that I have not known him before. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercies, who through life has been my guide? For I know whatever befall me, that's whatever happens to me, Jesus doeth all things well. Remember, God has begun a good work in you, and he will continue that work until he calls you home. But until that time, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless, the sons of God. But notice secondly, do all things. The reason to do all things without murmurings and disputings is to be harmless. Because the word harmless, it means innocent. It means to be without mixture. To be unmixed, unmarred, uncontaminated, undefiled, but pure and innocent. It was used in the Greek language to refer to pure wine or pure milk without any mixture of water in it. And so it laid the stress, meaning that there's something that should not be there, something that should not be added, something that should not be mixed. Basically, in a nutshell, your life should not be mixed with murmurings and complainings. Keep it out. Don't add it. It will make you impure, contaminated. And when referring to God's people, the uncaring, unhelpful thoughts, words, murmurings, and complaining, it should not be there. Rather, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be harmless. Those doubts, anxieties, those fears about God's sovereign purposes and his plans in your life, how he works, the way he leads you. Those anxieties, those questionings of God must not be there. Rather, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be harmless. And so Paul is saying that when you live the gospel, when you serve among other believers, when it comes to how God leads your life must not be mixed, contaminated with the corruption of murmurings and disputings. When there's groups that come and get in among you, don't join in their attitude about complaining. Remember the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Now, just thinking about the phrase harmless, innocent as doves. The dove is a peaceful bird, pure color, harmless, graceful. It flies away when it senses danger and when it's startled. I remember growing up as a young lad in Belfast, our neighbour had a tree, a big massive tree in the garden, and he had two doves. And didn't I, curiously, try to catch the doves all the time? And no matter what I could do to try and catch these birds, I could never catch them. They always outsmarted me. Why? Because the dove is sensitive to danger. And it flies away. And so the Lord's point is this. When you sense danger coming, when a conversation starts to come up and you know this person has something against this other person, this church, this preacher, this whatever it may be harmless as the dove, gracefully depart, gracefully fly away, avoid it. Don't get in among it. Don't add fire onto it. That's why he says, "Be ye therefore as harmless as dove." The word "be" is in the present tense, meaning your continual mindset is to be as harmless as doves. Continually be graceful, gentle, always sensitive to danger, because danger is always lurking. Know when to act and how to act, how to leave the scene, how to leave the conversation. Have the right frame of mind. Know what to do in that situation. Just as the bird flies off, so you, believer, leave the situation. Don't get involved. Don't become contaminated. Don't become mixed, polluted by murmurings and disputings. Don't allow such to mar your testimony, to mar your walk. Maybe there's one today who has been marred, involved in conversations, joining it or being on the backdrop of it. You are as the clay. We all are. As Jeremiah chapter 18 teaches about that potter who was working at the clay. And the clay was marred by a bit of dirt. But what did the potter do in Jeremiah chapter 18? He didn't say, do you know what? This clay has become a bit marred. A bit of dust has fallen on it. Do you know what? Rip it up and throw it away. No. He got that clay again. And he began to work on it again. To reshape it and to remold it. And maybe you've become marred. Contaminated. The Lord is not here to cast you aside. The Lord is not here to throw you aside. Rather, the Lord comes and says, do you know what? You need to be back on the wheel, working and molding and shaping to get that bitterness, that complaining, that disputing out of you in order to make you a vessel used for the Master's glory. Have you become unmarred? Have you become marred? Have you become mixed, contaminated by murmurings and disputings all the time? It's just become a negative situation all the time. The Lord is here to reshape you. Because remember, what did Paul say to the church here at Philippi? He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. None of us here, and even me, none of us are the finished article. None of us are perfect. And the Lord is still working on each one of our hearts. And you know how I can prove you're not perfect? You may say, well, prove that because I am perfect. Well, let me just prove how you're not perfect. Because you're still sitting in that seat. If you were perfect, you'd be in glory right now. Because the Lord wouldn't need to do anything else with you. And that's the whole point of being called home to glory. He makes you perfect in heaven. But upon earth, he's continually working on us. And only when he brings us home will we be perfect. So, sorry to shock the system. But we are not perfect. I am not perfect. You're not perfect. But the Lord is still working in our lives. And that's why we read the Bible. That's why we pray. That's why we come to church. We're all fallen sinners. We grieve the Lord every single day. We try not to get involved in things, but we end up getting involved in it, and then we realize we are. So here we have the instruction from God's word. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Why? Because you are the sons of God. Be blameless. You are the sons of God. Be harmless. And notice very briefly, the third reason to do all things without murmurings and disputings, to be without rebuke. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. The word rebuke means to reproach or to be unblameable. And since it follows the negative, then it means another way of saying blameless. Be above reproach. Be blameless. Again, this is not saying the Christian will never sin. Rather, it means when persecution comes, when accusation comes, may it be for righteousness' sake. May we suffer for well-doing, not our own sake, not our own faults, as Peter taught in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. I believe in getting the gospel out to preach the gospel to every nation. But I also believe there's a way to do that. And I believe there's a way also not to do that. And we must know the difference. Remember one of our ministers using an illustration years ago when he was a minister in one of our churches back in Northern Ireland. And there was a young fella, maybe he was zealous for the Lord, I don't know, whatever it was, but he had a unique way of going around sharing the gospel. He would go up to people's door and he would open up their letterbox and go right up to his voice and shout in, you're all going to hell! And he thought he was doing a great job. I've taught them the gospel. I've taught them right. And he would walk down the street. I'd give every house. But you know what? The list of complaints that minister got, letter after letter after letter after letter. And he might have been truthful, but it wasn't in love. And so there's a way of getting the gospel out. And so we must be careful. Make sure we suffer. It's for righteousness' sake, not for our own stupidity, not for our own faults, our own failures. As taught in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, have the mind of Christ. Give the gospel. Tell people the gospel simply. Tell them it lovingly. Tell them about the wonder of the cross. Again, we learn John chapter 14, verse 30. What did the Savior say? The prince of the world cometh. That's the devil. He cometh and hath nothing in me. That means, the phrase nothing in me means not one thing. The devil tempted Christ. The devil accused Christ. The devil attacked Christ. But yet he could find no fault in him because Christ was sinless, absolutely spotless. Again, the thief said on the cross in Luke 23, verse 41, this man hath done nothing amiss. This man, meaning, has done nothing out of place. Why? Because we learn in John 15, 25, the Lord said, they hate me without a cause. You will suffer for being a Christian, but may it be for righteousness' sake and not your own sake. The Lord said, they hate me without a cause. That phrase, without a cause, means freely. They hate me freely. They hate me without a cause. There's no reason. They just hate me because they hate me. His words, his life, were without rebuke. Never man spake like this man. Christ did always those things that pleased his Father. He did not murmur. He did not complain. He did nothing to disgrace his Father. Rather, he did all things well. And therefore, he taught that because the world hates me, it will hate you. Just because you're a Christian, because you're a born-again believer, because you live a life to glorify me, because you don't bow down to false idols or false gods, because you come to my house to hear the preaching of the word, just because you are a Christian and you identify with me, saved by grace, you will be hated, despised and rejected, accused. But when that accusation comes, when that persecution comes, make sure you're blameless, that you haven't done anything to bring that on yourself. Yes, be accused because you love Christ, because you preach the gospel, but not because you've done it in a way to disgrace the gospel. Again, Galatians chapter 4, Paul said of Isaac and Isaac and Esau, a child of the promise, or Ishmael, a child of the flesh. We learn Galatians 4, verse 29, he that is born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Meaning, those who are Christians, those who are the children of promise, will always be persecuted by those who are the children of the flesh, those who are not saved. And therefore, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, because in chapter 3, when we get there, he then begins to speak about those who are the adversaries of the gospel, those who attack the church of Christ. And Paul has a lot of things to say about them. But Paul wants to make this distinction, and we need to make the distinction as well, that sometimes God's people forget. And it's gospel 101. It's basics 101. What is that? Your fellow believer is not your foe, but your family. We must not belittle one another, but build one another up. We're not to hurt one another, but to help one another. We are the sons of God, the household of faith. The Lord said through Paul, do good unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Have the mind of Christ. Be blameless, be harmless, without rebuke, in the midst of a perverse and crooked nation, whom ye shine as lights in the world. Christian, in closing, you are the light of the world. You are to reflect Christ's glorious light. Live to exalt Christ. Shine bright for Christ. Be that guiding light for sinners in spiritual darkness to lead them to the cross where they can have their sin forgiven. They can have their sin dealt with and to know peace with God through Jesus Christ. I tell you, men and women today who are not saved, we don't present to you a religion. We present to you Jesus Christ. And therefore we pray today that you will see yourself lost in sin, a part of this perverse and crooked nation, and you will come to the light of the gospel. We're not a perfect people. But what is the difference between the saved and the unsaved? That's it in one nutshell. We are saved by grace alone. We have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And we know when we die in this earth, we will go to heaven to be with Christ, which is far better. Do you have that same hope today? Are you a Christian? Are you a born again believer? Or do you have religion without Christ? Well, I pray today you'll come and you'll ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the gospel. So simple. I'm not offering you 10 steps, 12 steps. I'm not putting you on a course for the next 12 weeks. I'm saying to you, believe Christ died for a sinner. And if you see yourself to be a sinner, then come, ask Jesus Christ to save you, and he will forgive all your sin for his own honor and his own glory. If I can help you, if I can speak with you, you need me to do that, I'd be happy to do that. But don't leave this house until you know what's right between you and the Lord. May the Lord write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.